Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and very happy because I've only seen him on video for a while. The last time I saw you was via video. It's nice to see you in person, Carlo Broussard.
Cy, it's great to see you as well, my friend.
Carlo Broussard, of course, apologist here at Catholic Answers, author extraordinaire of a couple of books thus far, more coming. They're like children with you. You got some, more coming. That's the way it seems.
And, I'm working on it, Cy.
On the next book.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the two current books.
Right.
Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. And then Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
Good job, Cy. You got it, buddy.
Thank you. I'm not organized. I don't have them in front of me, so I had to do it from memory. And I guess in some ways we're in the first book, really, because the challenge today in this hour is about the church. Why does it matter to be a Catholic? Which is a perfectly reasonable objection that
sure.
we as Catholics got to give a reasonable answer to, and that's what we'll do today. So I mean, I can imagine many people in the world. It's not just Catholicism. Why would I bother with religion or God or any of that
stuff? That's right.
And we got to be able to answer those people.
Indeed.
Why it matters that you be Catholic.
Right.
There's lots and lots of our Protestant brothers and sisters who, look, you know what? As a matter of fact, I think somebody just called. It was yesterday or the day before. Lovely woman. But, you know, why do we focus on all this doctrinal stuff?
That's right.
Why don't we just all get along? And we do. I mean, I think that
sure.
that's right. We do want to get along.
Amen.
We want to love one another, as a matter of fact. But why does it matter to be Catholic, for example, and not Calvary Chapel or not
right.
Lutheran, that kind of thing? Or I hate to say it, maybe this is the biggest group. Catholics who don't know why it matters to be Catholic.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a lot of us. So we'll get to all. If you're in one of those groups, go ahead and give us a call, 888-318-7884. Or maybe you're a Catholic person who does believe it matters, but you'd like help answering that for your Protestant friend or your atheist child or your whoever,
that's right.
you know, 888-318-7884. So it does matter, Carlo. You know what? I failed at this. When we were on a cruise one time, a guy got on the elevator and we're going down. It's Catholic Answers Cruise, and he sees my Catholic Answers name tag, and he basically asked me to give the elevator pitch for Catholicism.
Why be Catholic?
It was I felt so ashamed of myself. At the bottom, I said to my wife, this guy got off, and I was like, that is why I am not an apologist. That was horrible. So what's the elevator pitch? Why be Catholic?
Well,
why does it matter?
The short answer is because we believe in Jesus. Now, of course, that's going to raise the question, well, there are other Christians out there who aren't Catholic who do believe in Jesus.
Right.
You see? But this goes back to the question of, did Jesus establish the Catholic Church? So first and foremost, we believe as Catholics that it does matter to be Catholic because it gives glory to the Lord, to our blessed Lord.
Yeah.
Because if he did establish the church, then it would follow from that he wills that we be members of that church. And inasmuch as we choose to be members of his church, we're giving glory to the Lord and ultimately to the Father, right? Because the Father sent Jesus to give us the church. And so first and foremost is for the sake of manifesting the glory of the Lord, because it belongs to God's wisdom to give us the church.
Okay.
Secondly, it's going to matter to be a Catholic because if Christ gave us the church as a gift, as an essential means, right, in order to help us achieve our final life's ultimate goal, namely union with God, ultimately happiness,
right.
Well, then we can say it matters to be Catholic for the sake of happiness, for the sake of receiving the truth and the graces and that divine life that we need in order to achieve our ultimate end, namely union with God in the imperfect way here on this side of the veil, but in the perfect way on the other side of the veil in heaven. So the second answer is, in short, for the sake of happiness. So for the sake of giving God the glory, first and foremost,
yes,
because it's his will if he gave us the Catholic Church, and then secondly, subjectively for ourselves, right, for the sake of happiness, which it's not selfish to desire that because that's the way God designed us. He designed us to desire to be happy. We can't
right.
help but not desire to be happy, right?
Right, right.
And Christ gave us the means to achieve that ultimate goal, namely the church. And so these are a couple of reasons that we can give as the elevator pitch. of why it matters to be Catholic. Now, of course, that all depends upon the facts, the truth, right?
Yeah.
As to whether Jesus established the Catholic Church. And of course, that would be assuming that Jesus has the authority to do so and to demand from us that we follow and obey him in order to achieve happiness. In other words, that he's God, right? That he's God made flesh and that he is revealing to us the fullness of revelation of the God that we can come to know through philosophy. So this is sort of a sketch of the project of answering that question of why it matters to be Catholic. Now, of course, we could give personal reasons, like some people will say, well, it matters for me to be a Catholic because I love Jesus in the Eucharist and because of the Eucharist.
Right, right.
And that's reasonable. But then you might want to push back a little bit and say, well, our Orthodox brothers and sisters have the Eucharist.
Right,
and
right.
It's valid, but they're not Catholic. So why does it matter to be Catholic, namely to submit to the authority of the Bishop of Rome? And of course, people might give other subjective reasons like private devotions and all of the beauty of our Catholicism and our rich Catholic tradition. And as you were talking with Dr. D'Ambrosio in the last segment, all of the small T traditions that we have.
Right. Yeah.
And those are all reasonable to appeal to. But I think the bottom line is we have to get to that question is of did Jesus establish the church? And if yes, well, then it matters to be Catholic.
888-318-7884 is the number. Why it matters to be Catholic this hour with Carlo Broussard. Let's start with Jose in Stockton, California, listening on iHeartRadio. Jose, your question for Carlo.
Hi, guys. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Jose.
Same to you,
thank
brother.
You.
Well, I got a lot of Protestant friends, and I hear the same things from them about it doesn't matter which church you go to, you know, as long as you have Jesus in your heart.
Right.
And I just got done reading Carlo's book, The Meeting the Protestant Challenge, and
cool.
It was well done. I learned a lot.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. You're kind.
Now, what I took away from it was, and I just want to know what you thought. It almost seems like my Protestant friends are taking the easy way out, maybe? Does that make sense?
Okay.
They kind of want to do a sola scriptura or faith alone. Like, they're leaving a lot of important things out.
Okay.
They're not grabbing the fullness of it. So
right.
I want to know what you thought on that.
Yeah, Jose, I would agree with you that they are leaving things out because the very nature of Protestantism from the Catholic view is that it's restricted in what they understand to be the truth of God's revelation. And not only restricted, but some things contradict what God has given to us in his divine revelation that we possess in the Catholic Church. That's how we would assess that. So it is true that things are left out. It's a restricted understanding of divine revelation, and some things are just wrong. But I would be hesitant, Jose, to say that they're trying to take the easy way out. Because notice in saying that, you've jumped arenas. You're in a different arena. Rather than staying on the objective level of like what's true and what's not true, now you're making a judgment with regard to their motives. And we have to be very, very careful about that, Jose, in judging people's motives. Many Protestants that I've spoken with and Protestants that I read, they're not advocating sola scriptura or sola fide or whatever the distinctive Protestant doctrine may be for the sake of taking an easy way out, you know, because they don't want all the rules of the Catholic faith. What you'll find is that they advocate those doctrines for those doctrines because they think it's true. And that's laudable of them. We can give the due credit where credit is due, right? Because we want to believe things that we think are true as well. So I think we have to make a distinction between the objective level and what's true and what's not, and the subjective level of judging motivations. And when it comes to judging motivations as to why Protestants believe X, Y, or Z, we have to be very careful there. And the same would apply for us as well, right? We wouldn't want our Protestant friends making judgments about us as Catholics, right? And why are the motivations behind what we believe, the ultimate motivation behind what we believe should be because we think it's true.
What do you make of that, Jose?
That sounds good. I understand. Thank
awesome.
You.
Well, amen. Thank you. What a nice call.
Thank you for calling. Amen.
Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
Yep.
He said he read. Yeah. Which, by the way, just so you know, Carlo, just between you and me.
Okay, tell me.
It's on sale right now at shop.catholic.com, just in case anybody wanted to get it over there at shop.catholic.com. All right, we'll take a quick break. Jose, thanks for starting us off. We're talking about why it matters to be Catholic. If you're not Catholic, you should know you're very welcome to call. We'd be happy to talk with you. And one thing Carlo will not do is impugn your motives. We'll just talk about what's true and what's not true and work through it that way. But you're always welcome to call and impugn Carlo's motives. 888-318-7884. Right back with Why It Matters to Be Catholic on Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features daily Mass, prayers, articles, and meditations in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church. On the web at magnificat.com.
Dr. Doctor, featuring Drs. Tom McGovern, Chris Stroud, and Andrew Mullally.
The number of people who are on government assistance expanded so much. Personally, I had patients in my office in tears saying, you know, I never thought of myself as somebody on government assistance. I just bought a new car. I can afford a brand new car, but I'm still on Medicaid.
Dr. Doctor, Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Answers Live, Carlo Broussard, our guest this hour, and we're talking about why it matters to be Catholic. Your call, welcome, 888-318-7884. I want to stress, just because the first guy did it doesn't mean everybody has to call and say how great Carlo's books are, okay? Even if you haven't read Carlo's books, you're welcome to call, 888-318-7884. I want to read you a little quote from Pope St. John Paul II, the Great. Does that get them all in there? Pope St. John Paul, the great Pope. Yeah, I got them all in there. Okay. I always want to make sure I give him all of his props. The life of holiness, which is resplendent in so many members of the people of God, humble and often unseen, constitutes the simplest and most attractive way to perceive at once the beauty of truth, the liberating force of God's love, and the value of unconditional fidelity to all the demands of the Lord's law, even in the most difficult situations. During this outbreak of COVID-19, Catholics are beginning to grapple with a new reality, a loss of access to the sacraments. While the world struggles to contain the disease, we at Catholic Answers have put together this free, easy reader to help Catholic families at home. It's called Holiness at Home in an Era of Social Distancing. And we've got a website for it. It's just holinessathome.com. Holinessathome.com. Sign up for your free copy of Holiness at Home in an Era of Social Distancing. Again, Carlo Broussard, our guest, and your calls, welcome, 888-318-7884. Whether you are someone who believes that it is important to be Catholic and you'd like some help explaining that to others, or you are someone who maybe hasn't quite bought into the idea that it is important to be Catholic, and you'd like to discuss that with Carlo, 888-318-7884. And when I say hasn't quite bought in, this is something I think that shocks a lot of people. We Catholics believe that everyone should be Catholic.
Amen. 100%.
But there's not a lot of people like Yankee fans don't believe everyone should be. Well, they probably do. But, you know, we're used to a pluralistic society, meaning,
right.
Well, not everything's for everyone. But this everything is for everyone.
That's because we are all made for the truth. So it all gets back to that question of truth. Given our nature as human beings, God has made us for the sake of truth. We come to know the truth. We possess that truth in our minds. We move and direct our lives to harmonize with that truth, to live that truth. And we experience the flourishing of our natures as human beings. We experience happiness. Not only the truths that we can know by the natural light of human reason, but also those supernatural truths that have been divinely revealed to us through Jesus and entrusted to the guardianship of the Catholic Church. And it's those truths that are necessary for everyone to come to know. And when I say necessary, not in the absolute sense that if you don't know it, you're automatically going to hell. That's not what I mean. But necessary in that these are the what God has willed for us to come to know in order to achieve our ultimate in life's ultimate goal of union with Him and to experience happiness with Him in this life and in the next, as the old Baltimore Catechism used to say. And the reason is because it's a great good. The truth is a good for us. It perfects us, right?
Yeah.
And so in any way that we're lacking in that truth, there is some sense of deficiency. Right?
Yeah.
So whether it's on the far end of the spectrum of being in total darkness, of not having God whatsoever, not having religion whatsoever, and lacking those essential truths that we need to know to flourish as human beings, or even for those within the Christian community who are lacking the fullness of the truth of God's revelation, there is still a sense of deficiency there that we hope to overcome through evangelization. And the church is very clear that the good news is for everyone and that the church wills that everyone come to receive that truth. As it's stated in Dominus Iesus, it's 2000, Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith document, Dominus Iesus in 2000 says, those, objectively speaking, those who or without the fullness of the truth, right, that subsists within the Catholic Church, they're in a gravely deficient situation in comparison with those who in the church have the fullness of the means of salvation.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean they're automatically going to hell. It just means that Christ has given us all of these gifts in order to achieve salvation. And to be without those gifts in its entirety or to be without those gifts partially is a deficient situation.
Sure,
that right. We seek and hope to overcome because Christ wills to overcome that, of course, using us as secondary causes, because He wills for all of us to come to experience those gifts that He has come to give us, the gifts of truth and life that subsist in full in the Catholic Church.
888-318-7884, the number. But how do we know, like, He wants the church just to be one? You know, all how do we know He doesn't want there to be a whole bunch of different churches? Let's just be one.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Well, we could appeal to Jesus's prayer, His high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, where He prays to the Father, "I pray that they may be one as we are one." So He prays for unity. And the reason for that prayer for unity is for the sake, Jesus reveals that it's for the sake of belief, so that they may believe in You, Father. Jesus prays that His apostles be one. And that unity is going to be a unity in belief. And so this is why doctrine matters, right? A unity in mind. St. Paul would write that within his epistles, instructing the local churches that they be one of mind. And also a unity in worship. Right? And sanctification and how we're going to worship the Lord and the breaking of the bread. We see that early on in the early church in the book of Acts, right? And meeting on the first day of the week or the Lord's day on Sunday and the breaking of the bread and reading the memoirs of the apostles, right? And then unity of governance. And this is what we see in Matthew 18, 15 through 17, where Jesus sets it up Himself that, yes, there is to be organized religion in the sense that there is a rank of authority within the church that Jesus establishes. Not everybody has the same role to play and the same level of authority in making decisions for God's people on this earth. There is a rank of authority, so there's a hierarchical structure. And we see that in Matthew 18, 15 through 17. And that hierarchical rank of authority is the principle of unity. We call it the magisterium, right? The Pope and the bishops in union with the Pope, the body of teaching officials constituted by Christ for the church. And it's that rank of authority that's the principle of unity for the people of God, such that according to Jesus in Matthew 18, 17, if one fails to adhere to the judgment of the church, he is to be treated as a Gentile or a tax collector. In other words, an outcast outside of the Christian community. So there's a unity that Christ wills for belief, a unity in belief, a unity in worship or liturgy, and a unity in governance.
888-318-7884, why it matters to be Catholic today. Let's go to Dewan in North Carolina, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio channel 130. Dewan, your question for Carlo.
I didn't have a question, but I did want to answer the question, is it important to be Catholic? And I do believe it is. I was born in a Baptist church. My dad was a Baptist pastor.
Wow.
And I've been Baptist all of my life until 9 years ago. I went to get my car registered, and a lady that was doing my paperwork had the Magnificat sitting on her desk. And I was like, oh, is that the Daily Word? And she was like, no. And in the process of her doing my paperwork, she broke down the whole history and what the Catholic Church was about.
Beautiful.
Wow.
And from that, I had a friend that was Catholic, and I told her, I said, I really believe this is where God wants me to be, and she told me about the RCIA class.
Oh, wow.
And after going to two RCIA classes, I knew that this is where God wanted me to be. That was my first time going to church and actually understanding the message that was being brought to me. Before, I would go to church and the sermons would be nice and elaborate and you'd clap and you'd cry. But then when you leave, there was still an emptiness. And I wasn't feeling like I was being led or fed his word properly.
Sure.
But since I've been in the Catholic Church now 9 years, I totally feel like I know and understand what God wants for me.
Beautiful.
And not only that, I'm able to share his message better to others.
Right.
And so I just wanted people to know that. And when you asked the question about why shouldn't it be all these other churches, because I feel like now God's word has been broken up into a lot. If you remember when Jesus came, he said, you've taken my Father's word and put it into a lot of different little pieces. And I feel like now that's how they've taken his body. It's like you have all these churches that say they represent Christianity, but people are not being filled. I have a friend that's at the church I used to go to, and she don't go anymore. She said she felt like she reached the point that she could reach and she wasn't being filled. And so to me, that's why I tell people,
beautiful.
You know, I don't try and tell people you have to be Catholic, but I believe it is the place where you're getting the purest of God's word.
Dewan, let's let Carlo respond for a minute and we'll come back to you.
Yeah, Dewan, all I can say is kudos to you for responding to the promptings of grace that God was giving you through the ministry and through the witness of that lady to whom you were speaking. And so praise God and welcome home. Welcome to the Catholic Church. And you are correct in that there is a splintering, right, or a division of God's word. And we find pieces of God's revelation in this Christian group and that Christian group outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church. But we have the fullness of that revelation within the boundaries of the Catholic Church. And it seems to me, Dewan, that you have experienced that fullness and that you are experiencing being fed. And that's a beautiful thing, Dewan, and we can add to that, right? So the subjective religious experiences of being filled is complemented by the reality that it is the truth, right? And that the Catholic Church is the church established by Jesus Christ. So we have both these objective things going on, like what's true, and then we have sort of the complementary validation of that truth within a religious experience of being fed. And of course, we have that in the liturgy, in the Catholic Mass, right? Because it's not only the preaching of the word from the altar of the pulpit, right? The altar of the Word of God in written form, the pulpit, but it's also the preaching of the Word in all of the various aspects throughout the entire liturgy, culminating in the altar of the Word made flesh under the appearance of bread and wine on the sacrificial altar, right? So we literally are being fed more than if we only had the preaching of the Word. And so, Dewan, I think that reality is validated in your own religious experience, and we're just so grateful for you, Dewan, in coming into the church, and we thank you for sharing your journey with us.
What do you say, Dewan?
Can I just tell you one other thing?
Sure.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, and only one other thing I wanted to say just for people that might be saying, oh, well, how she know that? I'm going to tell you, I went back to register my car like four times. I've never seen that lady there.
Interesting.
And I
yes.
know that she was a messenger from the Lord.
Amen.
It's Dewan, thank you so much for the story and to share your story with us. And I do think there's a way in which we want people to know about the fullness of the Catholic faith more than anything, so that they can be with Christ in the Eucharist and right. and be filled that way. And to hear your testimony is beautiful. I love that it's just a person left out the Magnificat. Like let's send both of Carlo's books to Dewan. Dewan, stay on the line. We'll get your address and we'll send you both of Carlo's books.
Yeah, that's a great example of how just the smallest things can have such right. tremendous impact on somebody's life and actually change the course of their lives, you know? So it's a lesson for us to get out there and evangelize.
And thank God for North Carolina, because in California, if you put a Catholic book out while you're working at the DMV, death penalty. You get the death penalty. They will execute you for that here. No, seriously, okay. I thought it was death penalty. All right, we'll be right back. Thanks, Dewan. More on why it matters to be Catholic.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
How have you made a joyful return to the Catholic faith?
We want to hear from our Take Two listeners about the joy they find in the Catholic faith.
That's tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Carlo Broussard, our guest. I'm sorry, I just saw what you did on Facebook. Carlo, you have to see this. They put a measuring tape on our Facebook feed.
6 feet,
to show
baby.
That you and I are 6 feet apart.
We got it.
Oh my gosh, I just saw right in the middle of coming back, Zach. That's very funny. But look, we did it. 6 feet between us. Very good.
We got
good.
It, brother. Ain't nobody can call on us, brother. We're being good, faithful citizens.
That's right. We're trying. We're trying. As St. Paul tells us, to be docile to the civil authorities.
Citizens of two cities, right? The city of God and the city of man.
Right. And the city of man is a mess, but we still got to follow the rules.
And as long as it's in accord with the good.
Amen. Right, right.
We follow it.
Yep. Yes, that's right. Okay, so we're talking about why it matters to be Catholic this hour. Yes. Carlo Broussard is our guest. We just had a call from Dewan. We sent her both of Carlo's books. She got the whole Broussard library of books. She got Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church, and Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
How to answer 50 biblical objections to Catholic beliefs.
Your beliefs. That's what I was going to say. Up next, Sean in New York, watching on YouTube. Sean, your question for Carlo Broussard.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi, Sean. Happy Easter.
Carlo, I just bought your book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge.
Thank you, brother.
5 for 25. I'm just waiting for it to get delivered, though.
So. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much.
Can't wait to dig into it.
Awesome. How can I help you?
So my question is, I became Catholic 361 days ago, after being Protestant for about 15 years.
Wow. And welcome home.
Over that time, I'm sorry, what was that?
Welcome home.
it's night and day, I tell you. But over those 15 years, I've developed, very close and very personal relationships with a lot of the Protestants I ministered with.
Yeah.
So my question is, where's sort of like the best place to start when trying to, tell them about why it matters to be Catholic?
Yeah. You know, Sean, I think for me, we have to get to the ground level, right, to square one, and look at that which distinguishes us as Catholics from all other Christian groups. So you could appeal to the Eucharist, but like I said earlier in the broadcast, our Orthodox brothers and sisters believe in the Eucharist, and they have a valid Eucharist, right? So what is it? What is that one thing that's going to distinguish the Catholic Church from any other Christian group? And that one distinguishing factor, Sean, is the issue of authority, and in particular, the papacy, right? And so in talking to our Protestant friends, I think we can challenge them with this issue of authority and say, okay, when we look at the New Testament, we see that there is a major theological controversy, right? And I'm sure you're familiar with this, Sean, the controversy of whether one had to hold fast to the ode to the Torah and all of the precepts of the Torah, right? All of the ceremonial precepts of the Mosaic Law in order to be justified, to have a right relationship with God, the sort of the primary precept being circumcision. Is all of that necessary in order to be justified, or is that abrogated and excluded in the new covenant and we're justified by God's grace through faith? And what we see in Acts chapter 15, Sean, is that Peter stands up in the midst of the debate when all of the apostles and the presbyters were debating about it, and not even Paul and Barnabas could settle the theological controversy. And Peter stands up and declares the truth of the matter. And the issue is settled. That was a definitive doctrinal declaration about what is God's revelation. So notice the means by which the early church derived certainty about God's revelation was from or through this infallible testimony, this infallible voice, namely St. Peter. And so we have to ask the question for our Protestant friends, okay, is there anybody in your community that has such authority to do that? And if the answer is no, which it's not, because they don't believe such an infallible voice succeeded Peter outside of the apostolic age, well, then the question becomes, well, then how can you claim that your Christian community is following the paradigm of early Christianity? And so it raises the question, what is the evidence that such a paradigm shifted? Now, of course, our Protestant friends are going to say, well, with the death of the last apostle, now we're left with their apostolic writings, and we look to their apostolic writings as authoritative, alone as our infallible rule of faith. But the problem, Sean, for our Protestant friends is that there's no evidence in the New Testament that the apostles intended for the paradigm that we see in Acts chapter 15, in order to derive certainty about God's revelation, that it shifted. There's no evidence that the early church intended for only their apostolic writings to be our infallible rule of faith. And so our Protestant friends have a problem. They're going from a paradigm that we see in the New Testament for deriving certainty about the knowledge of God's revelation, and then a shift in that paradigm without any evidence of the shift. And so we're only left with the apostolic writings. So I think it ultimately comes down to the issue of authority, Sean, and the issue of authority, or the blueprint for authority within Protestant communities today, does not match up with the blueprint for authority of the Christian church in the New Testament. But what you do find in Catholicism, you do find a match. You do find a match that there is an infallible voice on this earth who can declare for us definitively the truth of God's revelation, like we find in the New Testament with Peter. And it just so happens, Sean, that we know through historical investigation that the infallible voice that we look to as Catholics, Pope Francis, is a successor to St. Peter as the Bishop of Rome. So I think when we look to the issue of authority, what we find is that it's Catholicism that matches with the blueprint of Christian authority in the New Testament, not Protestantism. And within this framework of authority, Sean, I think a crucial question that we need to be asking our Protestant friends is, okay, if there is no infallible voice to speak on behalf of God outside of the apostolic age, well, then how do you know that, for example, Mark, that historical Christian document, that gospel called Mark, is inspired by God? You might look to it as authoritative, fine. You might look to it as an apostolic writing, fine. But how do you know and believe that it is inspired by God? Because Jesus never told us, nor did the apostles ever tell us. So neither Jesus nor the apostles, the only infallible voices on this earth at that time who could speak on behalf of the Father and what's his revelation, they never told us that, for example, the Gospel of Mark has God as the primary author. So if there's no infallible voice outside of the apostolic age, well then, Sean, all we're left with is a guess as to whether the Gospel of Mark has God as the primary author or not. So would our Protestant friends, inasmuch as they acknowledge that the Gospel of Mark is infallible, but not only infallible, that it's inspired by God, the problem is they have no infallible testimony to rest that belief on. And so there's a conundrum there, believing in an inspired text, but an infallible and inspired text, but no infallible testimony to rest that belief on. And so that's a problem, especially when you bring into consideration the Protestant doctrine of sola scriptura.
Wow, Sean, that was a lot. And Barry, I wonder how that struck you. What does that make sense, what Carlos said?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I had not even considered that as a starting point. It was, I always had thought maybe I'll, talk about, just the history of the church, or,
right,
maybe I can talk about,
Mary and the saints or something that.
Yeah. Those are all things you can talk about, but it was this extraordinary, this idea of, well, you say that the Gospel of Mark, for example,
right,
this is the word of God. And we're with you.
Amen.
But we can
say, what's the ground of that belief?
Right. Who told you it's the word of God?
That's right. And it's not the apostles, and it's not Jesus. So where are you
getting
it from?
Who told you that? Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
And of course, for us as Catholics, the answer is the tradition. We have that knowledge in the tradition, but ultimately we have a judgment by the successor of St. Peter putting the stamp of approval on that tradition, that Christian tradition,
right,
that, this is the inspired word of God. Without that authoritative stamp of approval that is speaking on behalf of God, we're simply left with the guess and the small t tradition, and it could possibly be wrong. You would never really know, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it all boils down to the issue of authority. But Sean, I'm glad Sean brought that up, because keep in mind this, Sean, in no way do I intend to say that we need to exclude those other issues in talking to Protestants. And in some cases, Sean, talking about the smaller minutiae of doctrine, right, and the miscellaneous details of Catholic doctrine can be a starting point and a legitimate approach in some cases in order to get back to the central issues. And I think Tim Staples, our colleague here, his testimony is a great example of this, right? I mean, his journey started by questioning his Catholic friend with the small things, why do you call priests father? And it was in answering those smaller questions that eventually led him to the larger questions, and it led him to his conversion, right? And so it can go either way. And so, Sean, I think the bottom line here is you have to just, with the Spirit, discern the individual that, you know, the circumstances and the individual that you're talking to, and to see, you know, where they're itching in order that you can scratch.
Sean, I really appreciate the call. I want to just let you know, and anybody else that would like to hear that answer again, we always post the shows immediately after they're over at Catholic.com, and then they're always available on Facebook or YouTube, or now that new thing. What's the new thing called? Twitch? Twitch. You can get them on Twitch.com. You can get them.
There's something new again.
Yeah, it'll last a week. There'll be some other. But this is what I wanted to ask you, Nick. Will Marie post a transcript of what Carlo just said with it? Or no, that's just for focus? All right, okay, I wasn't sure. But I know that sometimes, you know, what Carlo gives is a very learned kind of essay, really, on authority and the authority that Christ gave that you can rely on, and you need church authority in order to be able to rely on the Bible. That's what it comes down to.
Yes.
And if you want to review that and go over that again.
As the inspired word of God.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. If you want to accept it as the inspired word of God, you need somebody that God gave you the authority to tell you that, and that's right. What the church has. You can just go back and listen to these. You can listen to them again at Catholic.com or Facebook, YouTube, or the new one is Twitch. No, it's not on Twitch. Oh, it live streams on Twitch, but they don't. But just go to Catholic.com. Okay, that's what you're telling me. All right, okay. I tried to get technical, and clearly that blew up in my face, and now everyone's laughing at me in there. Okay, apparently Twitch is not a thing that I understand. I don't understand any of it. Let's take a break. I need to just take a deep breath and get over how embarrassing this is. Right back after this.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Raymond Arroyo.
Part of the success we've had on the world over, I attribute to the audience, my relationship with Mother Angelica, and her teaching me that when you sit with someone, you talk to them, and you create an environment where they will tell you things they wouldn't tell anyone else. That ease, that humor, that warmth, she gave me that, and that's what I try to impart and make a part of every interview we do on the world over.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN-TV and radio.
All right, the youngins explained the internet to me during the break. And just go to Facebook, YouTube, or Catholic.com, and you can always find, after the show's over, you can rewind the show and play it again. I did good, right, Zach? That was a good explanation of how the internet works. All right, let's go to Rose in Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Rose, your question for Carlo.
Hi. I am a cradle Catholic, and like most cradle Catholics, don't proclaim to know the Bible well enough. So I am participating in a Jeff Cavins Bible timeline.
Oh, good for you, yeah.
Study.
Good stuff.
Wonderful.
My husband and I have been trying to, you know, all our married life set an example for our children. Right. However, our oldest daughter decided about 10 years ago that she was going to join this constitutional church who had a former Catholic as the minister. At the time, I consulted with our parish priest, and he suggested just leave her alone for a couple of years and then start approaching it. Well, I keep trying to invite her to attend Mass or go to my Bible study with me or go to different church activities, and she just keeps pushing back and pushing away. I'm just so devastated that she's not being able to participate in the fullness of the church, in the sacraments.
Right, right.
And how do I get her back?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rose. First of all, let me just say I'm sorry to hear that. This is a huge cross that many parents have to bear, right, in their children leaving the faith. And so it seems as if, you know, I'm not too familiar with the constitutional church. I'd have to do a little bit of research on that. But it seems as if your daughter hasn't left the Christian faith. So she's not leaving Christianity and belief in Jesus. She's just not identifying herself within the boundaries of the Catholic Church, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Well, one thing, I would recommend a resource to you. There was a book and sort of a video series program put out by a good friend of ours, Brandon Vogt, V-O-G-T, and it's called Return. I think that's the main title of the series, Return. And what he does is he walks you through several lessons in sort of coaching you on what you can do to help bring your children back to faith. And I think primarily the goal is to help children who have left the faith and sort of become secularized and have lost belief in God and religion in general. But there might be some good nuggets in there to help you with regard to your daughter concerning joining another Christian group. So that would be my first thought. Now, the second thing, Rose, is all we can do is do what you did, and that is to gently offer opportunities for your daughter to join you to the Bible study that you've offered with Jeff Cavins. That's a good start, right? It's extending an invitation. That's all Jesus did. Jesus said, come and see, right? Second, another thing that you want to keep your eyes open for opportunities and conversation that you're having with your daughter where, and you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you with this. If you stay in tune with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will help you see those opportunities where your daughter will say something concerning about with regard to the Christian faith or with regard to the Bible or with regard to maybe there's an implicit hint at sort of a rejection of Catholic teaching. And you can simply gently step in, Rose, and say, hey, you know, that's an interesting thought that you just shared there, or that's an interesting question, or that's an interesting idea. And have you ever done any research on that? Would you be interested in reading some articles on that idea? And you can always refer her to Catholic.com. Now, of course, that's going to require you to do a little research at Catholic.com, you know, based upon your prior conversations and some of the things she's bringing up. You have to ask yourself, Rose, what are the issues that she's bringing up in conversation about the Catholic Church? Is it Mary? Is it the saints? Is it the papacy? Is it purgatory? Is it clerical abuse scandal? Is it the priesthood? Whatever it may be, you have to ask yourself these questions so that you can go to Catholic.com and other places and research some of those topics so that whenever the opportunities present themselves, Rose, you can say, hey, there's a great article on that idea. Would you be interested in reading it? Now, it's up to her. The ball's in her court. She can say, no, right? And I don't want to read it. Well, then you can't go any further, right? And if she says yes, God willing, then you'll have the arrows in the quiver, right? You'll have the articles on hand. You say, okay, well, I'll send that to you. And so we have to, in conversation, we just have to be constantly looking for those opportunities to gently step in and either ask her a question, Rose, like, oh, that's an interesting idea. Where did you learn that? Is that really in the Bible? I've never considered that before. Can you please show me, right? Take the role of the student, Rose, in asking questions to get her to tell her story and to justify her positions. And if you do it as if you're simply honestly inquiring, like you really want to know where that idea comes from and what led her to these conclusions, why she's thinking that way, well, then she's going to be able to, it's more likely she'll respond and give you those reasons. And then you might be able to engage in a back and forth exchange in a conversation. So we always want to be asking, what are the issues involved? Asking her questions. Why do you believe this? Why do you believe that? Would you be interested in considering an article on this topic? So those are just a few thoughts that come to me initially. What do you think of that, Rose?
I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm most concerned right now that she's just not attending any church services at all.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's normal, right? Normally what you'll find is many times when young adults, and I don't know how old your daughter is, but I'm assuming she's a young adult, when they leave Catholicism for some other Christian group, they'll dance in those circles for a while, but then eventually they just don't go anymore, right? And so you might inquire, Rose, in conversation and naturally, you know, in just an organic conversation and say, well, I'm interested. Or do you still believe in Jesus, right? If you see that she's open to that sort of conversation. And if she says yes, well, then you know that you can, you know how to go forward. You know that you can go forward with regard to talking about just the Catholic Church. If she says, well, no, I'm not really so sure about this Jesus thing, well, then it's going to be a futile task, Rose, to give her information about the papacy, Mary, and the saints if she's struggling with Jesus. And so you have to sort of take a step back and provide her with some information concerning whether we should believe in Jesus or not. And we have plenty of resources at Catholic.com for free, both video, audio, as well as articles that you could have in your hand to be able to share with her.
Okay, Rose?
Okay.
Well,
you're
not
like a plan.
Yeah, you're not alone, Rose.
Amen.
It is that's probably the most common thing that we hear.
Yes.
I know I go through it with my own children, this idea of, wait, what happened? What happened here? There's a disconnect that I wasn't expecting.
Right. And all we can do is just ask the questions in conversation. And if you sense that the emotional response is there, and that the individual is not willing to engage in the conversation, well, then there's really nothing more that you can do right then and there except pray, right, and offer masses. Because it's important, Si, to know that through prayer and through offering masses for others, God bestows graces upon our loved ones to move their hearts and minds,
yeah,
to put them in the right direction towards the truth and the good. And so we can't undermine or undervalue the power of intercessory prayer in these circumstances, because sometimes there's just nothing you can do within the rational discourse arena.
Thanks, Rose. I'm going to try to get to Thomas real quick, make sure we can get at least Thomas in. Thomas in Fort Wayne, Indiana, watching on YouTube Live. Can you state your question kind of quickly, Thomas?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. My question is whether or not you can speak on the three ways of divine revelation, scripture, tradition, and the magisterium, specifically how we can use tradition as an angle to dialogue with Protestants. And I'll just hang up here, and thanks for taking my call. God bless.
All right, Thomas, thanks for the question. Well, first of all, we want to just clarify for our listeners just very briefly that there are not three sources of divine revelation. That would be sort of a misconceived idea from the Catholic perspective. There's one source, is Jesus, right? But two means of transmitting that divine revelation that comes from Jesus is Scripture, the written form of God's Word, and sacred tradition, the unwritten transmission of God's Word. And the magisterium is the custodian, you might say, the guardian of that one deposit of faith found in both Scripture and tradition. So that would be sort of the sketch of how the Catholic Church views those three things. Concerning tradition, yes, Thomas, I agree that one way we can employ tradition in conversation with our Protestants is say, listen, in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, St. Paul says, hold fast to the traditions that you have received from us, either by word of mouth or by written epistle. And so the question for our Protestant friends is, why don't you adhere to both Scripture and tradition when that's the paradigm for transmitting God's revelation in the first century? 2 Thessalonians 3:6, Paul says, in the name of Jesus, I command you to stay away from the brother who's living in idleness and not in accord with the paradosis, the same Greek word, the tradition. What's the implication? In the name of Jesus, there's a positive command. Live in accord with the tradition. So in the first century, in Paul's writings, we see that there is a sacred tradition that Christians are bound to adhere to. That's the blueprint for first century Christianity. So the question for our Protestant friends is, why doesn't the blueprint for your life of Christianity match up with that biblical blueprint concerning sacred tradition and sacred scripture?
Thomas, thank you. You did it. You asked it very, very quickly. And thank you, Carlo. Thanks. It was very nice to see you again, Carlo.
Hey, it was good seeing you, Si. God bless you, brother.
Happy Easter to Jacqueline and all the kids.
I will relay the message.
Thank you very, very much. Hey, tomorrow, We thought we'd have a bishop on, but then we thought, nah, let's have a scientist on. And then we were like, nah, let's have a bishop. Let's have a scientist. You know what we're doing? A bishop and a scientist. That's right. It's not even a joke. It's not like a bishop and a scientist walk into a room. That's what we're doing. Bishop Joseph Strickland and Dr. Stacy Trusenko, scientist and theologian, our guests tomorrow. Join us then on Catholic Answers Live.